לתשומת ליבכם, התוכנית הבאה היא תוכנית מוקלטת, ועשויות להישמע במהלכה התראות והתייחסות לאירועים ביטחוניים שהראו בזמן שידורה הראשון. האזנה טובה.
Listening to the English language news of Khan, the Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation.
It's 8 p.m. in Israel, Sunday, April the 14th, 2024. In the headlines, Israel weighs its response following an overnight Iranian drone and missile attack. The IDF says 99% of the more than 300 launches by Iran were intercepted by Israeli, U.S., and partner forces. Only minor damage was reported at an Israeli airbase in the south. A girl in the Negev was seriously hurt by shrapnel. The U.N. Security Council is meeting tonight to discuss the Iranian attack. Hamas rejects a hostage release and ceasefire proposal put forward by mediators. The weather outlook, no significant change tomorrow. Chance of local rain in the hills and inland. Good evening. This is Nomi Segal with the news. The War Cabinet convened this afternoon as Israel weighs its response to Iran's launch of hundreds of exploding drones and missiles at Israel last night. Iran has since signaled it will not strike further unless attacked, and the United States has made clear to Israel it does not want to see an escalation in the region. In the dramatic attack last night, Iran launched more than 300 missiles and offensive unmanned aerial vehicles at Israel. This as retaliation for an airstrike on April 1st that Tehran blames on Israel, in which an important Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps general was killed in Damascus, along with several other Revolutionary Guard officers. A large part of the ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and UAVs were launched from Iranian territory, though some were fired from Iraq and Yemen as well. The United States, Jordan, and the United Kingdom intercepted some of the Israel-bound projectiles. The IDF said that together with a defense coalition of international partners, Israel achieved a successful interception of 99% of the aerial threats launched by Iran. The IDF spokesperson, Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, said this morning that none of the approximately 170 UAVs and 30 cruise missiles that were launched at Israel penetrated its territory. A few of the 120 ballistic missiles that were launched entered Israeli territory. Slight damage was caused to infrastructure at the IDF airbase Nevatim in the south, but it continued to operate as usual. A 7-year-old Bedouin girl from the dispersal area near Rahat was seriously hurt by shrapnel and was hospitalized at Soroka Hospital. As we said, an Iranian retaliation was anticipated, and last night, shortly before the Iran strike began, the Home Front Command issued new directives. This morning, the command said that the public is no longer required to remain close to bomb shelters, and after a situation assessment, the Home Front Command left the protective directive unchanged from tomorrow at 11, under which educational activities throughout the country are canceled, including special education frameworks. However, an exception was made for the high school matriculation exam in music, which may be administered in proximity to a regulated protection space. In so-called green label areas, gatherings are limited to 1,000 people. There are no restrictions on the workplace. And Israel's airspace reopened at 7:30 this morning. The traveling public, though, is advised to check with the airlines and the Israel Airport Authority website about new flight times. Several carriers canceled or rescheduled flights today as well as tomorrow. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant says that last night's events are an opportunity to cement the strategic partnership between the United States and Israel and its allies who stand shoulder to shoulder in the facing of the grave threat from Iran. Last night, Israel experienced one of the most dramatic nights. Hundreds of rockets of different kinds were fired at the state of Israel, including more than 100 ballistic missiles, each bearing hundreds of kilograms of explosives. The extended preparatory efforts we took with our American partners brought the impressive results. Gallant today visited an Arrow missile defense battery that took part in the thwarting of the Iranian attack. The IDF Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi, has spoken with the U.S. Commander of the Central Command, General Michael Kurilla. Halevi expressed deep thanks for the joint defensive efforts to thwart and intercept the Iranian attack against Israel. He also told Kurilla that the close cooperation between the militaries throughout the world created a strong defensive coalition that proved itself last night. The strategic partnership of the IDF and the U.S. is significant to preserve regional stability and security in the Middle East, the IDF spokesman quoted the chief of staff as saying. An IDF spokesperson to international media, Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner, in an interview with Sky News, spoke about the international coordination in the face of the Iran threat.
Over the last 6 months, there's been a lot of coordination. And we saw the head of the U.S. CENTCOM here over the last few days, ironing out the details in order to be prepared for Iran's attack. And it just worked perfectly. I think it's probably unprecedented in the nature of modern warfare and this type of rocket standoff attacks that we experienced, how it worked so well. 99% interception rate is extremely high. But it's because we all worked together.
What coordination, Lieutenant Colonel, was there as well with your Arab partners and allies in the region?
So I won't go into specifics. Of course, there is great opportunities, strategic opportunities in facing the diabolical intentions of Iran together, because Iran has only proven through the last 6 months and extensively in the last 24 hours of their ill intention, their will to destabilize the region. And that is why there is a very strong, I would say, strong message to Iran.
IDF spokesperson to international media, Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner. The White House National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby described the interceptions of the launches from Iran an incredible military achievement by Israel, as well as the United States and its partners. Speaking to NBC's Meet the Press, Kirby said whether and how Israel responds is up to Israel. U.S. President Biden has made clear the U.S. is not interested in an escalation in the region. Kirby stressed that the U.S. will continue to help Israel defend itself.
Well, where things stand this morning is just an incredible military achievement by Israel and, quite frankly, the United States and other partners that helped Israel defend itself against more than 300 drones and missiles. I mean, it's just an extraordinary example of military superiority that Israel demonstrated to the whole world last night. And I think Israel also demonstrated that it has friends, that it's not standing alone, that it's not isolated on the world stage. Now, whether and how the Israelis will respond, that's going to be up to them. We understand that and respect that. But the president's been very clear. We don't seek a war with Iran. We're not looking for escalation here. We will continue to help Israel defend itself.
Are you, as we sit here right now, aware of any threats to U.S. troops in the region?
We are staying vigilant to exactly that potential threat, but we have not seen any attacks on U.S. troops or personnel in the region or our facilities. Nothing to report to you this morning, but we're going to obviously watch that very, very closely.
Just to get a sense of how this came together, did the United States have any back-channel communications with Iran, if only to deconflict the airspace over Syria?
I would just, not in terms of the operations, but, I mean, obviously in the lead-up to what happened yesterday. We made it very clear to all parties, including Iran, what we would do and how we would continue to defend Israel, and also how seriously we would take any potential threat to our personnel and our facilities in the region.
A lot of people watched what happened in the skies over the Middle East overnight, and they are wondering this morning, has this now escalated into a wider war?
I don't think there's any reason that it needs to.
Are we now in the midst of a wider war?
The president doesn't believe that it needs to move in that direction whatsoever, Kristen. what Israel demonstrated last night was an incredible ability to defend itself. Just their own military superiority was quite remarkable yesterday. I mean, very little got through, and the damage was extraordinarily light. And also, Israel demonstrated again, as I said, that they're not standing alone, that they have friends. So the president's been clear. We don't want to see this escalate. We're not looking for a wider war with Iran. I think you know, the coming hours and days will tell us a lot.
White House National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in his first public comment in the wake of the Iran strike, posted this morning on X, "We intercepted, we blocked, together we will win." Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said earlier today that the confrontation with Iran is not over yet. War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz of the National Unity Party said Israel must respond to the Iranian attack in the manner and time that is right for Israel. In a video statement, Gantz also underscored the importance of preserving the alliance with the United States. The Security Cabinet authorized Prime Minister Netanyahu, Defense Minister Gallant, and Minister Gantz to determine what Israel's response will be. Cabinet Minister Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir objected to the decision, arguing that the Security Cabinet as a whole should decide on any possible retaliation. They both were also calling for extremely forceful responses. CNN reported that U.S. President Joe Biden told Prime Minister Netanyahu last night that the United States would not participate in any offensive operation against Iran. The Axios site reported that Biden said he was opposed to Israel retaliating to Iran. The Israeli leader spoke to the U.S. president on the phone for about 25 minutes. NBC News reported that the Biden administration is concerned Israel might carry out a quick retaliatory response against Iran without thinking about the consequences of such action. And according to the report, Biden had expressed concerns in private conversations that Netanyahu was trying to draw the United States into a broader conflict. Meanwhile, the New York Times reported that after the call with Biden, a planned retaliation strike by Israel was called off. Seema Shain, head of the Iran program at the Institute for National Security Studies at Tel Aviv University and former head of the Research and Evaluation Division of the Mossad, says that Iran's overt attack on Israel was unprecedented. But from a strategic perspective, the U.S.-led regional cooperation that coalesced around Israel's defense constitutes a significant defeat for Tehran. In an online briefing hosted by Media Central, Shine said Israel's ability to leverage this will depend on how and when it decides to retaliate.
The operational success was a huge one, but the strategic one is not a huge success. From the strategic point of view, it is a completely new paradigm of the Iranians. They have decided to launch a war against Israel. There is no other war than to use it as a war, because it is an attack on Israel that has never happened before in the last 3-4 decades. The last time that Israel was attacked from the outside was by Saddam Hussein '91 during the war. And it was, if I remember correctly, 2,000-3,000 of rockets without casualties. So this is a completely new event in the dimension of it, and as well as the fact that Iran, for the first time, decided to attack Israel. So without putting it in any the contrast between this, the operational success and the strategic, I would say, for the time being, we don't know, it's not over yet, but for the time being, the strategic consequences are much less than the operational one. I'm trying to just to put a finger on some, to point some important elements. And one is that the event has, and the decision of Iran to attack, not that it was a surprise to Israel, it wasn't a surprise. Iran was saying it was going to retaliate. The Israeli intelligence had a lot of information before, so it wasn't in any way a surprise to Israel. At the same time, the decision of Iran to do it means is very interesting on the background of the American attitude, the fact that the President Biden has tried to prevent this. President Biden and the whole administration have tried to prevent this attack directly, talking to the Iranians via mediators, and also asking other parties in Europe as well as in the region to talk to the Iranians. It didn't work, and Iran, in a way, it is a decision on the side of Iran to ignore any deterrence that they could come from the U.S. Probably it is based on the assumption in Tehran that the U.S. doesn't want a war, and the U.S. will not, and it will be dependent on the success of the event. I think the Iranians took into consideration the fact that Israel has a very, very strong multi-layer anti-missile system. And they probably took into consideration that there will be not too many casualties. If I can compare it to anything in the past, I think it's in a way comparable to the Soleimani assassination, and then the response of the Iranians that also responded in a heavily way, but at the same time made all the needed steps in order to make sure that there will be no casualties on the American side, and it will be able, and both sides will be able to close the event. And I think this is the basis of the Iranian assumption that brought them to decide to do this attack, thinking that we have killed the people in Damascus, they will retaliate, and if there are not too many casualties, it will be completed. Both sides have done what they've done. I don't think Israel sees it this way. The big question is what Israel will do. Not that I know what Israel will do, I don't know, but if I can recommend, I would say to Israel, wait and think. There is the automatic response that everybody would like to do and to show Iran what Israel can do, but I think it's it has to be thought carefully because I do think we should retaliate, but I think what will be important and successful is if Iran. If the end of this event, and it's not just this event, it's in the context of Gaza war and of the half year that we are fighting with Gaza, with Hezbollah, the Houthis in Iraq and everyone. So it's part of the regional war that multi-front, as we call it, multi-front war that we are in. I think the strategic failure of Iran could be if this, what we saw during yesterday night, the regional cooperation led by the U.S. Supporting Israel to protect itself. I think this is the nightmare of Iran if it succeeds to be the outcome of the war in Gaza and the attack of Iran. I'm sure Israel will be able in the future to retaliate in Iran in a different way. We have a lot of capabilities, and I think it will be much more devastating for the Iranians if Israel succeeded, and Israel has to contribute to that in order that it will work, succeed to change the architecture of the Middle East in a way that will be understood that Iran is with its proxies, but all the others are actually cooperating against Iran and its proxies. So I think I'm sure these ideas are coming up also in the cabinet when they are dealing with how to retaliate. But God knows who, if people have the, you know, Israel is so stretched in the last half year that the question is whether Israel, the leadership in Israel will be able to decide to wait and they have, as the Iranians are calling, a strategic revenge and not just an operational attack. I think this is the position of the American administration. Biden has said it quite openly. There are leaks coming out of Washington that the president has demanded Israel not to retaliate and, of course, not to do anything without consultation with the American administration. So I think we are in a situation after last night that was a real dramatic change of everything we knew before, but still the outcome of this event allows Israel to think and not to retaliate immediately, and I do hope that will happen.
Seema Shine, head of the Iran program at the Institute for National Security Studies at Tel Aviv University. Iran declared that following its aerial attack on Israel last night, it considers the matter concluded, but it also threatened an even more forceful response to any Israeli counterstrike. The country's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, said Tehran does not intend to continue what it described as its defensive operations against Israel. He also said that his country had informed the U.S. that its attacks against Israel would be limited and for self-defense, and that Iran had notified its neighbors of the attack on Israel 72 hours in advance. At the same time, he also said Tehran would not hesitate to defend its legitimate interests against any aggression. An Iranian news agency also reported that Tehran's foreign ministry summoned the ambassadors of the United Kingdom, France, and Germany to question what it referred as their irresponsible stance regarding Tehran's strikes on Israel. A number of nations helped to intercept the massive barrage of drones Iran fired at Israel overnight. The commander of the Revolutionary Guards threatened Israel that any attack on an Iranian asset or Iranian individual would be met with a furious response, more than last night's attack. Iran also warned the United States against cooperating with Israel on a response, saying that American bases in Iraq and Syria would be hit. U.S. President Joe Biden spoke by secure video with the leaders of the G7 countries today. A statement from the White House said the leaders condemned Iran's unprecedented attack against Israel and reaffirmed the G7's commitment to Israel's security. Among those who joined the discussion was British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. In a statement earlier today, Sunak confirmed that British military jets shot down drones launched by Iran in its attack on Israel. He also called for calm heads to prevail to avoid an escalation of the conflict.
Well, last night, Iran launched a barrage of missiles and attack drones across the Middle East towards Israel. This was a dangerous and unnecessary escalation, which I've condemned in the strongest terms. Thanks to an international coordinated effort, which the United Kingdom participated in, almost all of these missiles were intercepted, saving lives not just in Israel, but in neighbouring countries like Jordan as well. The RAF sent additional planes to the region as part of our existing operations to counter Daesh in Iraq and Syria. I can confirm that our planes did shoot down a number of Iranian attack drones, and I want to pay tribute to the bravery and professionalism of our pilots flying into the face of danger to protect civilians. It's clear that Iran is determined to sow discontent and destabilize the region, its own backyard. That's very clear from its actions. If this attack had been successful, the fallout for regional stability would be hard to overstate. And we stand by the security of Israel and the wider region, which is, of course, important for our security here at home, too. And what we now need is for calm heads to prevail. We'll be working with our allies to de-escalate the situation, and I look forward to speaking to G7 leaders later this afternoon.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. In other international reaction, Germany's foreign minister Annalena Baerbock said Israel has shown that it is strong and can defend itself by repelling an Iranian attack overnight together with allies. Iran is isolated with its aggressive behavior with which it wants to destabilize an entire region, she said. And Israel's capacities have shown Israel is strong. Israel can protect itself. Baerbock called on Iran to forego further attacks, including via proxies, as a regional escalation would have incalculable consequences. Ukraine also condemned the Iranian missile and drone strike on Israel and said it is familiar to similar attacks from Russia's actions against Ukraine. The President Volodymyr Zelensky said in a statement, every effort must be made to prevent an additional escalation in the Middle East. The United Nations Security Council will convene tonight to discuss developments in the region. Israel has demanded an unequivocal condemnation of Iran's attack and for the council to declare the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps of Iran a terrorist organization. Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, posted on X earlier, the Iranian attack is a serious threat to global peace and security, and I expect the council to use every means to take concrete action against Iran. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres last night condemned Iran's attack against Israel as a serious escalation and called for an immediate ceasefire. Guterres said in a statement, I am deeply alarmed about the very real danger of a devastating region-wide escalation. I urge all parties to exercise maximum restraint to avoid any action that could lead to major military confrontations on multiple fronts in the Middle East. Neither the region nor the world can afford another war. John Bolton, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, says Israel's response to the Iranian attack must be disproportionate in order to restore its deterrence. In a CNN interview, Bolton suggested an attack on Iran's nuclear facilities.
But once we see what the damage is, I think it's incumbent on Israel and the United States to reestablish deterrence in a major way. And I think that means, by definition, Israel's response, and there should be a response, should not be proportionate. It should be far stronger, because when deterrence fails, to reestablish it, you have to teach the adversary that any gain they may hope to get by any future attack will be more than outweighed by the damage that will be caused.
So I hope President Biden isn't... Well, I was just sorry for interrupting, but give us your assessment of an appropriate Israeli response to what Iran has now done.
Well, what Iran did tonight that I think was most significant was the firing of ballistic missiles and cruise missiles from its territory directly at Israel. Almost certainly at this point, none of those missiles contained a nuclear warhead. But you never can tell when the next firing, the next salvo of ballistic missiles might contain a nuclear warhead. So I think among the many targets Israel should consider, this is the opportunity to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program. And I hope President Biden is not trying to dissuade Prime Minister Netanyahu from doing that. And if he succeeds, and if at some future point the Ayatollahs are able to pull off what former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon called a nuclear holocaust, history will know who to blame.
So just to be precise, Ambassador Bolton, you're recommending that Israel launch an airstrike to try to destroy whatever nuclear capabilities the Iranians might have. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. I think they should go after the nuclear fuel cycle activities that are well known. Their locations are well known. And I think that would be the appropriate target, because right now Iran has demonstrated it is not restrained by any concern about a direct attack on Israeli territory from its attack. It has, by its own admission, fired ballistic and cruise missiles. And the only thing that has saved Israel is this amazing technology. Next time, if the attacks come from a different location, containing nuclear warheads, Israel might not be so lucky. This is not time to play academic games and message and signal. This is a question of power. People say they're concerned about a wider war. The wider war began on October the 7th. That was not an Israeli war against Arabs or Palestinians or Gazans. It was Iran's attack on Israel using the Ring of Fire strategy. That's the strategic environment Israel faces right now. And the main cause, the puppeteer, the puppet master, is Iran. And if you take away their nuclear capability, that would be a dramatic hit to the regime, maybe enough to topple it.
Ambassador, my colleague Jim Sciutto is here with me in Washington. He has a question. He has a follow-up question for you. Go ahead, Jim.
Ambassador Bolton, given, and you know as well as we do, that Hezbollah and its enormous missile arsenal, many thousands of rockets and missiles, is intended in part by Iran to be a pressure point if Israel were to strike Iranian nuclear facilities. And I wonder, given the size of that, an order of magnitude bigger than it was, say, during the 2006 war, whether you believe Israel can today fight what would be a multi-front war, Gaza in the south, Hezbollah in the north, Iran to the east, and if you would then envision the U.S. directly involved in such a conflict.
Well, I think for the foreseeable future, Gaza is not going to be a principal battlefield, and it's certainly not something that's going to engage full Israeli military power. I think Hezbollah put pressure on Iran. It's one reason why the Iranian counterstrike took almost 2 weeks after the Damascus strike by Israel to say, you need to put skin in this game, Iran. So I'm not at all sure what Hezbollah's response would be to Israel taking out a nuclear power that hasn't done a thing for Hezbollah. The Israelis clearly have thought about what to do to neutralize Hezbollah. Perhaps their response, which also would be a pretty big problem for Iran, would be to go after Hezbollah now. My point is there are a number of steps Israel can take. Passivity at this point for Israel would be a big mistake. I mean, from the Israeli point of view, they should remember what Winston Churchill said in World War II, without victory, there is no survival.
John Bolton, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who spoke to CNN last night. President Isaac Herzog told Sky News in an interview that Israel is considering all options in the wake of Iran's attack. This is a declaration of war, he said, of the attack. Now, because we are restrained and because we know the repercussions and because we have deliberations with our partners, we are considering all options. And I'm quite confident that we will take the necessary steps to protect and defend our people. We are not war seekers. Herzog added that last night's attack is just another example of how Iran operates, spreading havoc, terror, and instability all over the world. Taking a midway look at the headlines this evening, Israel weighs its response to an overnight Iranian drone and missile attack. The IDF says 99% of the more than 300 launches by Iran were intercepted by Israeli, U.S., and partner forces. Only a few missiles entered Israeli territory, and minor damage was reported at an Israeli airbase in the south, which did continue functioning. A girl in the Negev was seriously hurt by shrapnel. The UN Security Council is meeting tonight to discuss the Iranian attack. Hamas rejects a hostage release and ceasefire proposal put forward by mediators. The weather outlook, no significant change tomorrow. Chance of local rain in the hills and inland. Boaz Levy, CEO of the Israel Aerospace Industries, praised the successful intercept of the hundreds of incoming aerial threats last night. He told Khan he closely monitored the interceptions and is pleased with the results. This was the powerful demonstration of the first degree. The IDF this afternoon released operational footage from the air defense interceptions, including the interception of an Iranian UAV by Israeli fighter jets. Tal Inbar, a senior research fellow at the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance, spoke to the Jerusalem Press Club earlier about the types of weapons Iran directed against Israel, and he noted that the use of drones in the first wave of the attack, which are slower moving, gave Israel time to prepare.
We saw several types of weapons operated by Iran, some ballistic missiles and cruise missiles. The exact model of those missiles is not yet known, at least not to the public, even though we saw some remains of Iran's liquid-propelled ballistic missiles. They look like some version of the Kayam missile, which is not the best missile that Iran possesses, and not the newest one. And a huge barrage of Shahed 136 drones, the same model that is used by the Russians in Ukraine for the last, let's say, almost 2 years, slightly less. and perhaps some other models as well. But to coordinate such an attack is not an easy task, because all three weapon systems has a different velocity and performance. So you have to launch in advance the UAVs, which are the slowest weapon that Iran used, then the cruise missiles that uses jet engines, and finally you launch the ballistic missiles with a relatively short flight time from Iran to Israel, depending on the launch site. So it was a coordinated attack, but because the Iranian chose to use the first wave of attack drones, we had several hours notice, so we could prepare ourselves to the maximum.
I understand, though, that unlike rockets and ballistic missiles, drones are they cannot be predicted, because they fly slowly, but they can change course. So how was there intelligence on what the targets were of the Iranians, or it was just a wait-and-see approach and they intercepted them as they came?
Yeah, you cannot know in advance what are the targets for the drones, and you mentioned it correctly. Nevertheless, because of their low speed, you can engage them not only with active defense from the ground, like the Iron Dome, for example, but you can shoot them down using the Air Force of Israel, or perhaps other countries in the region. And it was done several months ago by the Israeli Air Force. And this is not something new of how to mitigate this threat. And there is an advantage, because the airspace was clear from Iran to Israel. No civil aviation active at the time, for several hours before the incoming missiles and drones reached their targets or the near Israel. So you had a clear sky to engage them over other territories. And we heard that the Jordanian Air Force, for example, was very active, as well as some U.S. Aircraft as well.
Considering the number of weapons used, does this cause any kind of dent in Iran's capabilities? The number is a fraction of what they have. Is it like a large amount of what they have?
You know, it's not a large amount of what they have. They have a lot more in every respect, not just more drones, but more ballistic missiles, more sophisticated missiles, more long-range and heavy warhead missiles. So on the other hand, you cannot say that it is only a small fraction. It's a healthy quantity of weapons, and I cannot recall any such a coordinated attack in that magnitude. So in that regard, it was unprecedented, as well as the success of the interception.
The interception was indeed remarkable. Can you elaborate on the methods used, and also the forces that, like, how much of it was Israel, how much was its allies, which technologies were used?
Yeah, I can speak about the Israeli method of multi-layered missile defense. We had several layers of defense, starting from Iron Dome. Then we are going a little bit higher to David's Sling, which was originally designed to cope with maneuverable missiles, heavy rockets, and cruise missiles. Then we have the Aero 2, which is operational for decades now, and Aero 3, which is the upper tier of the multi-layer defense system of Israel. And Aero 3 engages its target not only very high, actually, in space, but very far away from Israel. So even the remains of the incoming missiles are not supposed to fall in Israeli territory. And of course, you have to get the data on the trajectories of all the threats. So we have our radars. There are some other assets in the region, including what we saw in previous engagement with the Houthis, some assets on the ground in Saudi Arabia, operated by the Saudis and operated by the U.S. And there are also naval ships with missile defense capabilities. Either the French Navy has some capabilities with Aster missiles, the Israeli Navy with the Sea Dome, and of course the United States with the Aegis ships. So all in all, it is a regional defense, not only Israeli capabilities. And you can add a little bit something else to the dish, if you will. You can add the capabilities of air forces in the region and, let's say, a modern fighter with air-to-air advanced air-to-air missiles could easily intercept incoming targets like drones and UAVs.
Tal Inbar. The IDF spokesperson, Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, is at this hour giving an evening briefing. In his remarks, he noted the international coalition that including the U.S., Britain, France, and countries in the region that worked together with the IDF in thwarting Iran's missile attack on Israel. He noted, as we've heard, that 99% of the more than 350 aerial threats that were launched at Israel were intercepted. Only a small number, a few missiles entered Israel, and Iran did not achieve its goal of hitting strategic sites. He said that the Nevatim airbase was sustained very slight damage and is fully operational. Hagari also noted that the IDF continuously holds security assessments and situation assessments for defensive and offensive plans, and that the current home front command guidelines remain in place and will be adjusted as necessary. As we said earlier, those directives mean that there is no school countrywide tomorrow. Sirens sounded last night in the north in the Jerusalem and Dead Sea region and in the south. The morning after, two people in Jerusalem, Cecil Shmulevich and Jeremy Smith, spoke to Reuters about their impressions.
I think it was quite scary when in the middle of the night we started hearing booming and we didn't know what it was. I mean, we knew what it was. We didn't know what extent it would be. But thank God the Israeli army came through, and so far it's quiet, and we hope it'll continue like this.
I really hope it won't be a big war now. None of us in Israel want a big war. So I hope that's it, and I hope Iran will stop now. I imagine it, Israel will respond, because, I mean, our whole country was covered in missiles and drones. So what can you do? But we have to stop it somehow.
I'm afraid. Of course, it's a scary situation. Iran is a big and a powerful country, and we hope the Israeli army will be able to hold up and do what they have to do. At this point, America is supporting us and England, and I hope it will continue. And we'll have peace in the area. That's all we want. And the hostages will come back safely.
Voices in Jerusalem. The Mossad said today that Hamas has rejected the deal drawn up by mediators for a Gaza ceasefire and a hostage release deal. A statement issued by the Prime Minister's office for the Mossad said the Hamas rejection proves that Hamas leader Sinwar does not want a humanitarian deal and the return of the hostages, and continues to take advantage of the tensions with Iran and to strive for the unification of the arenas and an overall escalation in the region. Israel will continue to strive to realize the goals of the war against Hamas with strength, and every stone will be turned for the return of the 133 abducted men and women from Gaza as soon as possible, said the statement. On Hamas's rejection of the mediator's proposal, a government spokesperson, Avi Hyman, said in an online briefing today that Israel will realize the objectives of the war against Hamas and leave no stone unturned to return the 133 hostages.
It has been over a week since the Cairo meeting. Hamas has rejected the outline that was tabled by the mediators. The outline was proposed by the three mediators, including the most significant flexibility on Israel's part. It is further proof, as if we needed it, that Sinwar does not want a humanitarian deal and the return of the hostages. Hamas and their Iranian paymasters want to escalate the region. Israel will realize the objectives of the war with Hamas with full force and leave no stone unturned to return the 133 hostages being held in Gaza against their will.
Government spokesperson Avi Hyman. Meanwhile, Khan reported earlier that a senior Turkish official has spoken with the head of the or the head of the U.S. CIA has spoken with a senior Turkish official. A senior Turkish official has says that the head of the U.S. CIA spoke with the Turkish intelligence chief for help in contacts and trying to advance a hostage deal. Meanwhile, the Forum for the Hostages and Missing Families said in a statement that in the wake of the Iran attack, that last night, thanks to precise intelligence, advanced security capabilities, and international cooperation, the IDF and security forces intercepted and thwarted the most severe aerial attack in Israel's history, ensuring the safety of the state and its citizens. All these elements were lacking on October 7th, leading to the capture, abduction, and murder of many Israelis. Critically, we have learned Hamas rejected the U.S., Qatari, and Egyptian-mediated deal to release the hostages and increase humanitarian aid. They reiterated calls for the international community to do everything possible to secure the release of the hostages. The IDF spokesman says that in line with the situation assessment, the IDF will in coming days call up two reserve brigades for operational duties in the Gaza Strip. The spokesperson said the call up will make it possible to continue the war efforts and maintain readiness and defense of the state of Israel and protect the security of its residents. In the north, Israel Air Force fighter jets today attacked a significant Hezbollah facility for that was manufacturing arms deep inside Lebanon in the area of Nabi Sheet. The IDF spokesperson said the strike was in response to launches from Lebanon toward northern Israel overnight. This evening, rockets were fired at the Ramim Ridge in the Upper Galilee from Lebanon. There were no reports of injuries or damage. The funeral was held this evening for 14-year-old Binyamin Achimeir. The Israeli teen shepherd was discovered in the Binyamin region over the region after he had gone missing. The IDF confirmed the cause of death as being a terrorist murder. The security service is currently in pursuit of those believed responsible. In Pisgat Ze'ev, outside Jerusalem, two men in their 30s were killed as a result of a fire erupting in a building for the handicapped. Seven other people were wounded. Two were in serious conditions in the Jerusalem neighborhood. In response to the heightened security situation, the Ministry of Aliyah and Integration has expanded the hours of the Emotional Support Hotline for New Immigrants that it operates in cooperation with the Emotional First Aid Association, Iran. The hotline, whose number is *3201, provides psychological assistance in five languages, Russian, Amharic, English, French, and Spanish. We heard more from Dr. Shiri Daniels, National Director of Counseling at Iran. First of all, how have the past 6 months impacted the work of Iran?
Well, the last 6 months, we experienced something that we never experienced before, although Iran has been around for more than 53 years, and we've been through wars, but we never have been through something like that. We see a spike in distress calls, in anxiety, in grief, in loss, 950% rise in calls related to trauma and loss. And in general, it's not only the rise in calls, it's also the level of distress. Calls there on the 7th of October, we got calls from people actually hiding in the fields, running away from terrorists trying to murder them, people who experienced extreme disasters and viewed sites that find it very difficult to get out of their mind in the last 6 months to come, and probably we'll have to deal with that in the future, not only short term.
And in the months that have followed, have the types of calls shifted as the situation has continued?
Well, we see that as months go by, we see a rise in calls relating to depression and loneliness, which at the beginning were mainly calls around anxiety and trauma. We see a rise in calls that have to do with our personal relationships, with loved ones, with our kids, with our parents, with family members and spouses. So we see a shift in call, but still the main topics remain anxiety and trauma, and especially when the future is we have so much uncertainty about the future. We don't know when this war is going to end. Are we at the last phase, or maybe we are just in the beginning? And this causes a lot of distress in all of us. We see distress in children and teenagers, in their parents, in the elderly, with soldiers, reserved soldiers, and their family members. So we could easily say that it's the Israeli society at whole.
Now, is the purpose of Iran and its hotline to provide, as you mentioned, emotional first aid? This is an immediate crisis as a hotline. Are there also recommendations or activities that it engages for follow-up treatment?
Well, sometimes there are. We have to remember that our needs in emergency and disaster situations are divided into three basic types: the basic physical needs, the need for information, and we see how all of us react when we don't have information to hold on to, and the psychosocial needs. And here Iran comes in as the need for emotional support. And we could help by listening and providing emotional support without judgment or criticism, by legitimizing emotion and normalizing the experience as a normal reaction to an abnormal situation, by also enlisting available support sources to provide further treatment when relevant, and also by identifying situations of extreme distress and referral for treatment in the future or in the present when needed.
Now, among the groups that Iran provides specific service to is to new immigrants in their language. This is in a cooperative effort with the Ministry of Aliyah and Integration. Has there been an uptick in calls to this hotline?
Yes, there is a rise in calls and online contacts with Olim, because we know that Aliyah itself can be traumatic. And now going through a war without support systems that are more available for Israelis who were born here. So we provide support by professionals in five languages: in English, in Russian, in Amharic, French, and Spanish. And the service is active usually 5 hours a day, and now we see a need to expand this service, which, as you said, is with the collaboration of the Ministry of Immigration, who saw the need a year ago to provide accessible and available psychological assistance in the mother tongue of new immigrants.
So are there additional hours now that the hotline will be available?
Yeah, we opened today the hotline and online service at 6 in the morning, and we are going to be here for at least 12 hours. We are taking track of the developments, and we are going to increase our availability in order to answer the volume of calls and the level of high distress that everyone is experiencing now.
Given the most recent developments from last night with the Iranian attack, drone attack on Israel, was there a flood of calls coming into the hotline?
Yeah, there were a lot of calls regarding anxiety from the unknown, parents who wanted to share their emotions and thoughts, people who had the anxiety attacks and wanted us to help calm them down, and also people who wanted to ask how to speak to their kids, how to calm them down. And with their advice and support that they got, they found themselves more capable of being there for their loved ones.
So what is the number for the new immigrant support line of Iran, and what hours will it be operating?
Well, the number is *3201 or online via Iran's website. And we are here now for 10 to 12 hours daily. And I would like to invite everyone listening to join us and not to stay alone with the distress. We are here for you in your language. And maybe it's also an opportunity to tell whoever is listening to try to stay active, to stay together, to help others, and not to stay alone. Because sharing our thoughts and emotions helps tremendously to deal with this, with these difficult times.
Dr. Shiri Daniels, Director of Counseling at Iran, that support hotline for immigrants is *3201. The website is iran.org.il. Before the return headlines, a bit of music. Barry Sakharov, Monsoon.
הזמן נשרוף נשרוף את כל מה שבינינו תני לרגע שיחלוף עבר עוד לפנינו כמו שבאתי עליו
weather outlook. No significant change. Chance of local rain in the afternoon hours in the hills and inland. Tuesday will be much warmer, especially in the hills and inland, becoming hot for the time of year. Shirov conditions developing over most of the country on Wednesday. Thursday calls for the same. The temperatures forecast for tonight and tomorrow, Jerusalem 12 to 21, Tel Aviv 15 to 23, Haifa 17 to 20, Tzfat 13 to 19, Tiberias 16 to 27, Beersheba 14 to 26, and in Eilat from 17 degrees tonight going up to 29 degrees Celsius tomorrow. Taking another look at the news headlines this evening, Israel weighs its response to an overnight Iranian drone and missile attack. The IDF says 99% of the more than 300 launches by Iran were intercepted by Israeli, U.S., and partner forces. Only a few ballistic missiles entered Israel, causing minor damage at an Israeli airbase in the south, which continued to operate. A girl in the Negev was seriously hurt by shrapnel. The UN Security Council is meeting tonight to discuss the Iranian attack on Israel. Hamas rejects a hostage release and ceasefire proposal put forward by mediators. The weather outlook, no significant change tomorrow. Chance of local rain in the hills and inland. That's the news. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on Kan Reka, the foreign languages channel of the Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation. Watch our 2 p.m. newsflash on the Kan English Facebook page. Find us on Spotify, X, or write to us at kanenglish@kan.org.il. Together with sound engineer Asaf Moshkovitz, this is Nomi Segal wishing you good evening and shalom from Jerusalem.